Okay. So first I'd like to start off by you giving me your full name and your state number and what facility you're located at.
My name is Philemon Ross, number 1194525, and I'm currently at Red Onion State Prison.
Okay. And we can start there. I've been waiting for your call.
So you want from the beginning of this incident or
I want
the
the
entire?
from the whole thing, the whole
Okay,
incident.
so on September the 30th at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning, I
Is this
started experiencing a seizure.
2024?
Five.
Okay. Okay.
9:30, 25. I started experiencing the seizure. I was at Deep Meadows facility, and when the officers arrived, it was two sergeants. They automatically assumed that I was ODing on some type of drug or something, so they administered Narcan. The first Narcan didn't have any effect on me. They administered another Narcan, and when that did nothing either. So when I got the medical, they administered another Narcan. After that Narcan, they called 911. The ambulance came. While all this is going, I'm out. Like, I'm completely blacked out. I really don't remember too much of anything. I got like bits and pieces while I come back in and go back out. So when I get to Johnson Willis Hospital, they did an emergency CAT scan of my brain. So the nurse came back with the results of that. She didn't tell me what the results were, but she just was like, from the results, your numbers was through the roof. Your numbers shouldn't have been whatever the number was from the CAT scan. She was like, it shouldn't have been like that. That it's extremely abnormal. She was like, so we got to rush you from here to Chippenham Hospital and do an emergency MRI on you. So when I get transferred to Chippenham Hospital, they did the MRI, which took approximately 45 minutes to an hour, and from there the doctor discharged me. When I got back to the facility on 10-1, I was served a 106 sexual assault charge, and the description of the charge read, and I'm paraphrasing, that a nurse informed the security at the hospital that I touched a nurse inappropriately. So when the security came and talked to the CO, which was CO Robinson from Deep Meadows, he relayed the message to him. And after he finished, Robinson asked me, he was like, who did you touch? They said you touched a nurse's hand. I'm like, I ain't touched nobody. So he was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get the bottom of it. CO Robinson leave out the room. He come back. He calls, I want to say it was the Major Booker at Deep Meadows. Major Booker then told them to keep me restrained and to keep them informed. About an hour and a half later, the same security guy came back and pulled Robinson into the hallway and told him something else. They then called the warden. I don't know what's going on at this point. So when we get, like I said, I'm finding all this out when they're reading me the charge. So the warden come to my door, Warden Jones, and he was like, right now, we're in the process of going to getting a statement from the nurse and the people at the hospital. And if you did what they say you did, you're getting transferred. We're going to mercy transfer you to a higher security level and all that. So anyway, they never come in here to charge. So as the days going by, I'm like, yo, what's up? Like, why y'all ain't do the hearing? We need to do the hearing for this. So another lieutenant, he told me not to, put him involved with this, but he was like, look, they lied on you. And the people at the hospital never confirmed that you did what they said that you did. He was like, so that's between me and you. He was like, so don't worry about the charge. We should put you back. You should be going back to the yard. So anyway, they come. I make them do the hearing. I was like, nah, y'all got to do my hearing because I want y'all to find me not guilty of this because I'm ready to go up for parole. You know what I'm saying? They came and gave me my parole paperwork, on the 2nd of October, saying that they was coming to do my parole hearing 5 months early or whatever. So I'm like, all right. So they came and did the hearing. In the hearing, the lady stopped the recording. She called Richmond. Richmond told her that she had to throw the charge out. But on the recording, instead of her finding me not guilty, she dismissed the charges. So I was like, why didn't you find me not guilty? She was like, dismissing the charges was better or whatever. All right, cool. So now the warden come back to my door the next time he come around, and he was like, look, the charge got dismissed, but I'm not putting you back on my yard. I'm not putting you back on my yard. So I'm like, why not? I ain't do nothing. So he was like, you're not going back on my yard. So he sent the IPM, which her name is Rolly, to my door to get me to sign up for a voluntary drug program, V-Stud or the Ride-Up program. So when she get to my door, I'm like, I'm not signing that. I ain't had no drugs in my system. I took two blood tests by two different hospitals, and I took 6 urinalysis tests from y'all. I ain't had nothing in my system. I was having a seizure. Y'all knocking me, and now y'all trying to make it seem like I was high. I won't have. So they was like, you still got to sign up for this program because we knocking you. And I'm like, okay, me being knock-hand has nothing to do with nothing. That's y'all fault. Y'all did that, not me. I ain't tell y'all to knock-hand me. Y'all knock-hand me on my own. I was not broke. So anyway, make a long story short, they forced me into the program. So when I get to Greensville to the Ride-Up program, I'm telling everybody there, like, listen, I'm not supposed to be in this program. They knock-hand me because I was having a seizure, and now y'all trying to make me do the program. I said, but y'all doing this to save y'allselves. Like, I'm not doing this program. So the people that ride up, Lieutenant Clark, Mr. Woodson and all of them, they have a second MDT hearing about my referral process to get put in the program. Now, they showed me that IPM Rowley said that I had a dirty urine and that I agreed to go to the program, and that's why they accepted me into the program in the first place, which is all lies. I don't have a dirty urine and I didn't agree to the program. So anyway, I'm telling them, like, look, y'all took my visits, y'all took my phone, y'all took all my property, and y'all violated my due process by doing this because I haven't been found guilty of a charge for y'all to take anything from me and to sanction me with any penalties. So I was like, y'all can't do this. They was like, well, Spectrum is making up the rules to this program, not DOC. I said, but DOC has to follow the 861.1 policy. Y'all got to enforce the policy. Spectrum can't make up rules that govern it or overthrow the 861.1. It don't work like that. So I'm telling everybody this, and they just saying whatever. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to sue y'all because now y'all tripping. So anyway, I didn't necessarily go on a hunger strike, but I kept telling them I'm a vegan, so I don't eat no meat trays. The trays they was bringing me was bean trays, but they tasted like chemicals. So I kept telling them why they body cam on, like, look, my tray tastes like chemicals. It tastes like something in it. So they telling me that they know this is not the first time they heard and all that. I'm like, okay, but y'all keep giving me these trays that taste like I'm not going to eat it. So I ain't accept. I refused like 30 trays in a row. So on the 30th tray, they put me in the hole at Greensville, and they served me a 200 charge refusing to participate in programs. When they come for the hearing for that charge, I was found not guilty of that because I never refused to participate in a program. I just simply told them I don't have a drug problem and I shouldn't be in this program, and y'all not can me because y'all incompetent, and now y'all trying to cover it up by putting me in the program. So they throw the charge out, they put me on the yard. Okay, now, following up to this situation, the program, Ride-Up program that I was writing up, that they bucked on letters too. They didn't send the letters to the people that I sent them to. They took the letters and destroyed the letters. But anyway, they seen what I was writing to the people of the Coalition for Justice and the lawyers because they opened them. I know they did. So when they shut the program down, they shut it down December the 22nd, 2025. Lieutenant Clark, which was the lieutenant of the radar program, the one I was voicing all my my complaints to, she became my building lieutenant, which was S-3-7 building. She became the lieutenant on the following Monday of the program being shut down. And 5 o'clock in the morning, she came to my door. I was meditating, and she came to my door, and she started agitating me, and she called security. She called more officers over there. And when they opened the door, I walked out of the cell. I walked past them. I wasn't even thinking about them. I walked past them, and I'm going to the booth, and one of the officers grabbed me. So I was like, bro, you can't put your hands on me. Don't grab me. You know what I'm saying? And I turned to Ms. Clark, and I was like, Ms. Clark, you got to let your CO know he can't put his hands on me. So another officer grabbed me, and the same officer that grabbed me again. And I smacked their hand down. They started macing me, and the fight broke out. It was 5 of them, 6 of them against me. And then Ms. Clark right there, she watched the whole thing, and they put me in the hole. So at 5:30 that day, which was 12/29/25, Ms. Clark came to my door, and she was like, Mr. Ross, you broke your glasses. She had I had some gold frame Versace glasses, and she got the glasses in my hand. I was like, nah, y'all broke my glasses. She was like, nah, you broke them. While you was fighting, you broke them. I was like, all right, cool. She was like, oh, yeah, but she ain't got to worry about these glasses. I'm going to put them in your property, but you're getting transferred tomorrow. So I was like, where I'm going? She was like, where it ain't, and started smiling and walked off. So I was like, all right, cool. And I got up here. When I got my property, I ain't get all of my property, but the properties I did get, they went in through my mail and took out the letters that I wrote to the 3 law firms and to the Coalition for Justice, because it's not in my property that I've seen. So that concludes everything. Now, of course, I got, many detail written down, but like I said, they took, I don't know if I got all my property yet, if this all they're going to give me, or if they're going to give me some more. But I do got more details of everything, because I start writing dates, times, who I'm talking to and everything, who I'm giving my letters to. To send out, I wrote everything down because I already knew what was going on. You know what I mean?
Right. Have they become physical with you at Red Onion as well?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
They threatened me a little. They lightly threatened me. If you, they give you the speech when you get up here. You put your hands on the officer down here. Red Onion, we don't do that. If you do that, we got something for you and all that. And I was like, I've been to Red Onion before. I already know the routine. And that was that.
Okay. Were you made to get, were they asking you to pose or doing search or giving you inappropriate searches as well?
I mean, I believe so. They tell you to bend over at your waist, spread your buttocks, squat down and cough. And this is what they've been doing to me and everybody else. So,
and has that stopped as of now?
No, they do that every day.
Every day. Okay.
Every time we leave out the cell, that happens. Every single time.
Okay. What else do I need to ask you? Hold on. When your glasses were broken, that was because they used force on you, or what happened? Do you know?
So to be honest with you, it was during the use of force, but I don't know I don't know when they got broken. Like, the Lieutenant Clark told me that my lenses fell out of my glasses when I was still in the cell. I don't know if that's true, because once the use of force happened, you know, that went out of the window. She was like, "But you broke the glasses." I was like, I don't know who broke the glasses. You know what I'm saying? I don't remember that. I don't even remember where the glasses was at. But she did come and tell me, you know, way before she brought me, she was like, "You broke your glasses." So I was like, okay.
Had Clark had issues with you prior to this?
Say it one more time.
Clark, the one who became your unit manager, tell me about what issues you had prior to this with her.
Okay, she was the rider lieutenant. She was the one that was in charge of the rider program. And everything that I was telling her, she was dismissing, and she had a problem with me because I was just simply stating the rules. I wasn't asking her to do me any favors, but at the same time, she knew that I was right. She knew that they couldn't take my phone. She knew that they couldn't take my visit. She knew that they couldn't take all of my property, and she was letting them do it because she was a part of the program.
Right.
So when I get there, she like, "Look, you ready to start something by saying what we can't do?" And I was like, "This is according to the operating procedures. I'm not making this up. This is what the policy states." And she had a problem with that. So once I seen that they knew that I was right, they would come around with their body cameras off. And I'd tell them, like, "Can you please turn your body cam on?" And I would start speaking straight to the body camera because I know I'm right. And she didn't like that. So when the program got shut down, the day it got shut down, she had to bring people that worked for her in the program to the building I was in. And she was also the new building lieutenant. So when she come in there, she was like, "Yeah, Ross, you think you da 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 da?" And I was like, "Nah, I don't run this building." She was like, "You think you do?" I was like, "Nah, I don't run nothing. I'm just an inmate in here." And she was like, "Don't worry about it. I'm coming to the building. This is my building now." So I'm like, okay. And sure enough, Monday morning at 5 in the morning.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I don't know what she was doing at my door. I don't know why she came, but that started the whole situation.
Okay. Do you agree to us sharing this, because the call is going to end. Do you agree to us sharing this information and advocating for you, like, online and doing Zap
calls?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
All right. So you're free to call back if you want. If not, I will be in touch with you, through.
If you need me to, I will, because they ain't come get the phone yet.
Okay. Whichever you choose.
All right.
Okay.